When a pilot or a ship's captain get in their vessels and want to go somewhere, they have to know how to do it. They have to know where to aim the plane. Because when they're flying, they don't always see the ground. They don't always see things. It could be night. It could be clouds. It could be they're so far up. The city that they want to go to could be hundreds and hundreds of miles away. And if you're in a boat and you're in the open ocean, all you see is water in every direction. There's nothing to aim at other than something that is helpful. A compass direction. A compass is divided into 360 divisions, and each point has a number, 1 through 360. And the maps are looked at before the trip is taken, and they set the mark of where they would have to go, what direction they have to go to, and exactly what number of the compass directions they must go in order to reach that destination. So the whole course of the trip, the navigator and the captain are looking at a mark. And if they follow the mark, they're going to reach their destination, even though they don't see the destination. Well, Christians are one day going to heaven. And our minds should be occupied with heavenly things. There are certain things on the course between now and heaven that are on the right pathway, and there are certain things that are on the wrong pathway. And the Apostle Paul wants us, as we study our passage from Philippians today, to press toward the high mark, to aim high. Not necessarily heaven, because heaven's up, although that's a wonderful way to think of it. We aim high because we have a heavenly mind. But think of lofty versus basic or not so good, average, or even that, worse, vile. Do we want to live a vile life or a holy life? Do we want to be ignorant of what the Bible says, or do we want to know what the Bible says? Do we want to just hear about other people doing charitable things, or do we want to participate in charity ourselves? You got to have a plan in life if you're going to reach your goals. You have to aim high. You have to know the course, and you ought to have high aspirations. And so the Apostle Paul is on that mindset, and he's trying to tell the Philippian people, as he's preaching to them, that they need to have that mindset as well. We're going to study today Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. We're going to start today in our reading to give us the sense, the main thought of all these verses between 12 and 21. Verse 13 and 14 kind of sum that up for us. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Just like a compass has a mark of each degree of the compass, it's 360 degrees of that compass, there's a good mark. I press toward that mark, the prize. That's the goal. And it's the high, I aim high, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So now let's just go to the text and see that. He talked to, in the 13th verse, about apprehending something. We're in the middle of a conversation of chapter 3. We left off at verse 11, which mentioned the apostle thinking about the resurrection, the glorious resurrection that we're going to have. And that's where we begin with that continuation of verse 11. It says in verse 12, "Not as though I had already attained." In other words, Paul is saying, I'm not in heaven yet. All of us are in that condition. If you're listening to my voice today, you are aware that you're on the earth. You're not in heaven yet. And yet, there is a difference between being on the earth with a heavenly mind and a heavenly goal and a heavenly desire and a walk of light than to walk in the world. And so he says, I'm not perfect. I do not have everything I want in life. In our lives, we're never going to be where we say, well, I've made it now. I'm as holy as I possibly can get. I'm as knowledgeable about God as I possibly can get. You may be outshining everybody else, but you've got more potential. And so the Apostle Paul says, don't ever stop aiming high. And you know you're not perfect yet because you're not in heaven. So if you still got stuff to work on before, why not try to be as close to what we're going to be in heaven now? Why wait? In heaven, there is no sin. Well, we want to, on the earth, where there is a lot of sin, and we have not obtained a sinless life, when we haven't gotten to the point where we could say, I don't sin. May we keep trying, though, not to sin. That we would always want what we're going to get. And so that's what he's saying. I haven't gotten there yet. I'm not perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Jesus. Jesus Christ is going to take me to heaven, then I should have try to be like it's going to be in heaven. I'll give you another for instance. In heaven, they praise God all the time. Well, that means on the earth, if you want to be like you're going to be, you should start praising God now. You don't wait till you get to heaven. Be in the habit of praise now. And what is going to occur when more and more of God's people that surround us have this heavenly mind, it's going to create a situation where we are, where it seems like there's a little heaven on earth. Sometimes we feel that way. There are some times we go to church, and it just doesn't seem like it's anything different than before we got there. What we had at home was the same as what's at church. Those are not good days. There are times we go to church, though, and we go, oh my gosh, wasn't this great? Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this so different than what is on the outside of these four walls? I feel like we're having a little bit of heaven on earth. And I want to apprehend, I want to grab hold of what I'm going to grab hold of in heaven. That seems to be what the Apostle Paul is saying in this passage in verse 12 of chapter 3 of Philippians. Philippians 3, 13 and 14, where we began. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. As I'm reminding myself, I'm not there yet. But this one thing I do, and it actually, he says it's going to be one thing. The one thing he's going to do is press toward the high mark. But he's going to mention two things to get to the one thing. In order to press toward the mark, you've got to do two things. You have to, one, forget those things which are behind. That you've got to say, you can't look back like Lot's wife looked back to Sodom and Gomorrah and said, you know, a little less lusting for things that I'm going to miss there. You don't want to look back, because what was prior to Christ in your life was not good. So look toward the good part. So forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before. So it's a little bit of forgetting, and it's a little bit of reaching. Because the idea of reaching forth, reaching out, is to recognize you're not where you need to be. It's not only important to forget the past, it is important for us to realize the future could be brighter than it is even presently. And so we want to forget, we want to reach forth, and this is called the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I love how it's described as a prize. It is desirable. A lot of hockey players, they want to win the Stanley Cup. A lot of football players, they want to win the Super Bowl. The soccer player wants to win the World Cup. These are prizes that symbolize the highest goal you can get in this particular sport. At tennis, you want to win Wimbledon, and so on. Each competitor has the goal. The Olympic champion wants to get the gold medal. You get the point. You see what I'm talking about. Those are prizes. The prize is at the end. But before you get to the prize, you've got to work hard. You've got to run. You've got to lift weights. You've got to find out the discipline of your life. These are all things comparable to our Christian walk. We have to run, and we have to show discipline. The prize is at the end, and it's a heavenly thing, a wonderful thing. Now to verse 15. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. That is, this mindset of pressing toward the high calling of Jesus Christ, pressing toward heaven and heavenly things and the way things are in heaven. When we're perfect, we'll do this. Now, the word perfect has several meanings in the translations of the King James. Sometimes perfect means without a flaw, absolutely perfection. And sometimes it means the final, strong, adult version of something. In other words, maturity. Well, that's the meaning for this particular one. If you're mature, you're not a novice, you're going to have this high mindset. You're not a beginner. You're one who realizes that this is an important thing, and you've got some discipline in your life. And so if you're going to be mature in Christ, a mature mind, not a babe, but a mature person in Christ, then you've got to have this mindset. You're not going to get to be even mature if you don't have a goal to become one day mature, to become wise, and so on. He says, let's have that mind. Now, if you don't have that mind, pray that God will reveal your need. Sometimes we quit working. We quit trying to learn more. We quit trying to do more charity. We quit trying to love. We quit trying to forgive. These are high things. These are wonderful things that we are to have as our goals. May God open your mind to your flaw. Because once you know your flaw, you can overcome them. And once you know your weakness, you can overcome them. That's why the athlete lifts weights. He's not strong enough yet. That's why the athlete continues to run, because he may improve or she may improve their speed and so on. The swimmer might be able to swim faster. They realize that this is the mindset I have, and it's a terrible thing to think more highly of yourself than you ought to. It's a wonderful thing to be able to see yourself as God sees you. And so if you're worried that that may be the case with you, and we all should have that kind of a concern that we would fall into that category, may we use verse 15 of the third chapter of Philippians to kind of remind us to pray that God will reveal ourselves to us and reveal our weaknesses to us, not to shame us, but to inspire us to aim higher and to do better. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. This, let's build on our successes, what we have already got. We haven't reached heaven and perfection, and the meaning perfection without any flaw, without any sin in our lives. But we can say often in our lives, I'm a lot better than I was 5 years ago. I'm a lot better than I was 30 years ago. And so let us mind that same thing. Don't quit. How did you get there? How did you go from babe in Christ to mature person? How did you get there? Well, keep applying those things to go from where you are now to the higher stage. And Paul is confident enough in himself to say, I want you to look at me for an example. I want you to be inspired by me. He says, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. That is, you don't just have to look at me. You can look at people who are just like me, but you would look at me as saying, all right, the Apostle Paul is a praying person. I want to be a praying person. Is the person that's around me like the Apostle Paul? Are they a praying person? Do they have the same goals? Do they have the same standards? And so he says, mark them. On the other hand, we observe other people and saying, well, maybe I can learn more about how to act than doing the opposite than they are doing, that I can use them as the opposite reaction, that I don't want to be like that. I want to be more like this. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying, we need to observe other people. I've often said this to people who are getting married or people who are about to have a child. And even I would even narrow it down with children is gender. That is, if you've just had a child and it's a girl, you know what you should be looking for? Parents who are doing a great job with girls. Look at the variety. You know, there's some that are doing lousy jobs, and look at those who are doing good jobs. And if you want to have a standard of prize for, you know, having a godly marriage, look at people who have godly marriages. Look at them. Mark them out. Have that be your guide point. Many years ago, I used to play golf. And several times when you get on a golf course, when you're at the tee box, you can see the green where you're aiming. You can actually, there's a pin, there's a flag that's waving that's in that hole with attached to the pin, and you just, so you're aiming at that. But there are other times when you come to a golf course that it's called a dog leg. It goes, you know, east to west, and then it turns north to south. It has a bend in it. And so when you're at the tee box, you don't see the green. You don't see the flag waving that's over the hole. You don't know where it is. And so it's really good to have some other mark before you get to the ultimate mark. The ultimate mark is putting the ball in the hole if you're playing golf. And the first mark may be a tree or a shaded grass or something that says, all right, here's my first target. And when I get to the first target, if I hit that right, then I'll be able to see properly the next step to go to where I can see the ultimate prize, we have a heavenly goal. That's heaven. We don't see it. We're not there yet. But until we do, we look at intermediate goals, people who are living heavenly lives, and we follow their example. Be followers of those who are following Christ in a good way. After mentioning the fact that he could be an example and others could be an example, he makes note of the fact that others, Paul could speak for himself, but he can't speak for every one of the other people in the world. But he realizes that there are some people in this world that you shouldn't be following at all. And so now he mentions that in a parenthetical way in verses 18 and 19. He says, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things." They are actually proud of their shame. They're actually earthly minded rather than heavenly minded. They're actually enemies of Christ. Paul says, "I've been warning you against these people." It really matters who we look at in life, who we want to follow, who are our heroes, what kind of people are they. We should be very careful, especially when we admire someone famous. Let's look closely, not at their wealth, not at their awards, but look at their character. Is this someone who I want to emulate? Are they heavenly minded? And so we must be careful about who we look at. And Paul says, you can count on me. I'm going to lead you to the heavenly way. That's my goal. That's my desire. That's my life. I'm not perfect. He stated that over and over again in this passage. I'm not perfect, but I'm aiming toward perfection. And a lot of other people aren't perfect, but they're not aiming at it. That's where they want to be. They want to be in the imperfect. They want to be in the sinful way. Don't follow them. Do not follow them. Verse 20. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Now he brings us to a heavenly view, the ultimate goal, the ultimate prize. He says our conversation is in heaven. Again, the King James English may not be the way that we speak English today, and so we would use a different word than conversation. Our affiliation is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our manner of lifestyle is in heaven. That would be a word that is summed up with conversation. We have to sometimes study Old English meanings to understand what the Bible is saying in our version of the Bible if we're using an older version. And while I love the language of the King James version of the Bible, and it is a lofty and elevated language, sometimes word changes over the years make us have to explain things like conversation. And when we think of conversation, we think it's just words. No, this is more than just words. It's a description of a lifestyle or a group of people. And many of the modern translations would say citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. Others would say our affiliation is in heaven. Now, the last thing we've mentioned is the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 20. Now we go to verse 21. Who? Well, that's who the who is. It's Jesus Christ. "Who shall change our vile body?" The Bible is not mincing words here. It's not sugarcoating anything. When it mentions our earthly state, it says you've got a body that is vile. Remember earlier in the passage where it said, if you don't think that, maybe you should ask God to reveal it to you, that you would you would ask God to show you the proper way to think of, well, this is the proper way to think of our earthly existence. It's vile. We are sinners. We are prone to sin. We have lust in our body, and the body's lust will have us desire to do things that we should not do. And so one day in heaven, one of the greatest things is going to be is we're not in the vile body anymore. It'll be a resurrected body. It'll be a perfect body. It'll be incorruptible. It won't be able to be corrupted. It's wonderful that what we're going to have. Well, let's work on getting there now. Let's try to leave our vile body behind and dedicate the use of our bodies and our minds and our hearts toward the ways of Christ. So, getting back to the goal place, the heaven place, verse 21. This is one of the great excitement verses in my heart, for heaven. What's heaven going to be like? It's going to be wonderful because we're no longer in our vile bodies. He shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his, Jesus's, glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Do we do that today? Are we able to put forth every temptation and not do it? Well, Jesus did. Jesus lived through this life sinless, even though he was tempted many times. He did not listen to the devil. He listened to God. That's our goal on the earth. And one day, we'll never have to have a fight about that anymore. It will never have to work at it anymore. It'll never be hard anymore. We'll just be holy. One day, we'll be holy. We strive now. We press toward the mark now. We aim. We keep seeing, am I hitting the mark or not? Am I hitting my aim or not? And if not, God, show me and help me. It's so important. It's so vital. It's vital to your happiness, for you know you're pleasing God. It's wonderful. How gracious God is to give us the ability not only to go to heaven one day, but to experience heaven on earth. Don't you want both in your life? Don't you want to have life eternal and life abundant? Let us do what Paul said to do. Let us aim high. Let us press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. May God bless us to do so and give us grace to do so and help to do so is my prayer.